Welcome back. We're here live, Build 2015. This has been an awesome conference, and I'm excited to be with you guys. You literally make the house wherein I live. I love Visual Studio. Tell me a little bit first about who you are, what you do, and what are some of the cool things coming out for Visual Studio in the next release? So let's start over here. Mark.
So I'm Mark Wilson-Thomas, and I work on the core Visual Studio IDE team. I look after the editor, which is the place where you spend 10, 12, 14,
that's where the magic happens, people.
Sometimes 18 hours a day.
That's right.
So I live there, and I've been working on some productivity features in the 2015 cycle, which we'll maybe give you a little look at in a moment.
Love it.
My name is Andrew Hall. I'm a program manager on the diagnostics team. We work on the debugging and performance tools in Visual Studio. So some of the great new things we brought to Visual Studio 2015 include a lot of edit and continue improvements.
Nice.
The ability to use lambdas in the watch window when debugging on .NET. And we brought some performance tools into the editor and into the debugging tools as well. So we can show you how long code takes to execute, for example, just while you're stepping and running to breakpoints.
Awesome.
And I'm Thadar Wadhkur. I also work on Visual Studio core teams. Our team does the core parts of Visual Studio for all languages, editing and building, and we have the debugging team here as well. So anything that relates to all languages is what we do.
Well, that's awesome. Well, we've got them here, so please ask some questions. Otherwise, I'm just going to go crazy. Tell me about the new stuff coming out. Why is it exciting? Maybe even show us a little bit of what you got going on.
Sure. We do, you know, I think big thing for Visual Studio 2015 is focus on productivity. So as always, you know, our developers appreciate productivity, and we have a lot of that. And Mark's going to be showing some stuff on the editor, and Andrew's going to be showing some stuff on the debugger, and there's
well,
a lot to go
let's
there.
Start with the editor, because that's where it all starts. That's where we type it. And then with your stuff, that's where we figure out what we type wrong.
That's
so
right.
Let's start over here.
You know, it's really pretty funny that you should mention it's about getting things wrong, because my world this last release has really been about the first stage of getting things wrong and how to avoid it.
Right, got it.
It's about errors, and so what you see in my Visual Studio right now is I'm looking at a project that I've been working on, and I've got an error present in the project. You'll see I've got my error list up.
Right.
Okay. I'm going to do a fairly typical developer thing when I'm working through a list of errors. It's kind of like my to-do list, right?
Yeah.
So I hit up F8, and sure enough, I'm going to go right to the line of code that has the error in. That's nothing new. It's been like that for a long time. But you might notice, if you're watching carefully, if I just move my mouse over here and zoom in a little, there's a new guy in town, and that's the light bulb over
nice.
On the left. Okay, so you'll notice he has a keyboard shortcut. Now, I'm a guy who likes to keep my hand on the keyboard.
Right.
Okay, so what I'm going to do is zoom out. I'm going to say control dot, and I don't if you notice it told me the action there. I'm going to hit up.
Control dot, that's right.
Control dot was the keyboard shortcut for what I was doing. Okay, and you can see that something new is appearing. Now, I don't know if you ever got to use the old smart tags.
Right.
This is a replacement for those, but a whole lot richer.
Right.
A whole bunch richer than it was before. Instead of just presenting me with a list of actions here, what it's going to do as I move down this list, and I'm going to zoom out so that you can see it properly. As I move down this list, you'll see that it's presenting me not just with the action itself, but also with a pretty neat little preview. Okay, and what that preview is telling me in diff mode, you'll see there's green lines for things that are being added,
right.
And red lines for things that are being taken away. That's telling me exactly what I'm going to get before I get it.
So if you're going to screw it up, you're going to know beforehand how you're going to screw it up.
That is correct.
That is wonderful.
Yeah. This is a projection forward into the future, and this comes courtesy of the new Roslyn compiler model in the C# and VB world.
Got okay? it. That's awesome.
It lets us know what's going to happen in the future. It's kind of a crystal ball, if you like.
Right.
So when I hit this thing, I'm going to know right away. I don't have to go and hit preview changes to figure out what this thing's going to do for me, mm-hmm. right? So I go ahead and take that change. And sure enough, I've made a fix. That's cool. That's all well and good. Let's just undo that change just for a moment there. And now I'm a mouse-oriented guy just for a moment. I have to wear all the hats, right?
Right.
So I'm a mouse guy, and I want to hover over my errors. And typically what we find is people, when they're worrying about an error or issue, they're going to hover over the red squiggles. Mm-hmm. And what better place to park us a light bulb?
Nice.
Right? So this is exactly where we put the same experience. You can go ahead and hit that guy up, get exactly the same result.
See, previously that light bulb was in my head, and most of the time it didn't show up. So it's good that it's in Visual Studio now, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, best to have the ideas come up through the machine
right.
and rely on the brain entirely,
right.
right? Yeah. So in this new world, with the light bulbs. You might have noticed as I slid my mouse over this guy here, and I'm just going to zoom in a little bit so you can see it. What we've got here is a very slight dimming. If you look at the word color here, it's slightly grayer, and that's subtle. And the reason it's subtle is we don't want to be beating you around here saying, you know, because this is a suggestion, right? This is just a suggestion. So this won't stop your code compiling. This won't actually break you completely, but it is a suggestion we have for you for how to make your code better, okay? And what it's going to let me do, once again, if I put my cursor on the line, the same keyboard experience applies, it comes up on the margin there. It tells me I have an unnecessary cast. Once again, I get this handy dandy preview, which lets me know what's going to happen.
Nice.
You note that I can also apply it at any scope that I like. Okay, so whether I, if I want to eliminate all the unnecessary casts in my project, I can go ahead and do that. And in that case, I will see the preview changes dialog because that's a lot of files to be changing without letting me know what you're doing.
Right.
But let's suppose I just want to take this unnecessary cast, I can go ahead and remove it. That's awesome.
That's really cool.
But for the next stage of awesomeness, I mean, you haven't even got me started.
All right, let's get you started, man.
Get to the next level of awesome, right? What we've got here is, let's introduce that thing again. Let's make the same mistake twice, because I never do that, right?
Yeah.
You'll see that as I typed there, the light bulb appeared, right? Now, that should be spurring some thoughts in you if you've ever done, this class of thing typically used to come up from static analysis.
Oh, that's right.
Right? So you wouldn't find this thing out until, whenever you got round to running static analysis.
That's right.
Now, if you're a good guy, that might have been in your build process.
Right.
Right? And maybe it happened on your dev build or whatever. You'd find it out then. But if you're like a lot of folks, you might not find that out till maybe weeks later.
Right.
So now you've accumulated a whole bunch of debt, right, in your project.
See.
Right? You don't want to do that.
No.
You want to find out right now. Okay? The magic here is being enabled by a new feature in Roslyn called analyzers. Okay.
Oh, that's
now, analyzers
cool.
are a feature of the Roslyn framework. Okay, they are an extensible way of expressing rules like the one we just saw.
Now, is that like a reference that you're adding, or how does that work?
Well, how that works is these things are typically their assemblies packaged as NuGet packages.
Got it.
Okay, and they travel with your project.
Oh, that is cool.
Right.
Yeah. Can you make your own custom analyzers then? Is that what they
that
are?
That is absolutely correct.
So, awesome.
Not only can you write your own. Okay, and I can do add analyzer, okay, and I could add a new one. I could add one as a NuGet package to my project and have it travel with my project. If I'm a library author, let's say I wrote my own library, I can make a set of rules that travel with that library. Okay.
That's remarkable. Because you know, like Jim in the office always puts the curly brace on the same line, man. We got to fix that.
Right.
Analyze that stuff, say, Jim, man, next line every time. And so that's the kind of thing. I know that's a silly example, but that's the kind of thing analyzers can do is can look at structure of code
Correct.
And what code it's doing.
Correct.
Okay.
So you have full access to the power of the Roslyn parser there, and you're basically going to be able to figure out when things have gone wrong and raise issues, and not just raise issues, mind you, raise fixes to those issues.
And not even when they're wrong, but maybe when they're wrong for your organization.
Correct.
Okay.
And that's super important because these things are configured in rule sets.
Right.
I have a rule set editor here that's actually going to allow me to configure it. So let's go ahead and look, and we can find that redundant cast one that I was talking about just there. There it is, and I can decide for my policy what that shows up as. Okay, so I could say for my project, I never want redundant casts, and I'm going to have those things show up as warnings or even as errors.
Oh, wow.
If I want to do that, right? So it's fully in your hands. These things travel with your project. It's your conventions, your control.
That's awesome. I really like some of these features. So let's move on to debugging. Are you ready to tell us a little bit about?
I am ready to tell you about debugging.
So let's see. So now that we've analyzed our code, now that we've typed it in, now that we've let the light bulb come on the computer instead of our heads, once we're running the thing, how can we start to profile these things or look at these things?
So let's start off. I have, wait till my screen gets up there.
Oh, there you go.
Excellent. So I have a WPF app here that's going to make a call to a web service.
Okay.
And I'm going to go ahead and click this button, and it's going to go ahead and make just a couple web calls, and I can see that that's really not that fast. I wish that was a lot faster.
Okay.
So in the old world, how I would figure out how to go do that, I would have had to probably go try to run some profiler, maybe add some custom instrumentation to my code. But now what I can do, I'm just going to go down here to the method that handles that button click. And when I click the button, I'm there. And as I step through the code, you can see this little tip shows up. We call it a perf tip here.
Uh-huh.
And it shows me approximately how long the code takes to execute.
Oh, that's
so
awesome.
Stepping from there to there did nothing, so it took less than 1 millisecond to execute. And so as I go, right, I can see nothing interesting is happening. So I step, step, step. And this also works between breakpoints as well. But so as I step over this line of code, I can see that that's taking a while, but I know exactly how long it took now, and I can see that it actually took about 2 seconds to make that web service call.
Got it.
So now let's run to the end of the method. It's going to make two more, so there's three things in this list. So I'm just going to choose run to cursor. That's like running to a breakpoint, and it'll tell me how long it ran from the previous break state. So whether it's from a step or whether it's between breakpoints, and I can see that it took about 4.2 milliseconds to run the additional two calls. So it's taking about 2 seconds per web service call.
Got it.
Just a really lightweight way in the debugger that I can time my code without the need to go add stopwatches or custom instrumentation or run a profiler outside of the course of debugging.
So now as you're debugging, not only are you going to know, okay, which code is not doing what I want, but you'll know which code is maybe doing what I want but not really well.
Exactly. I don't have to think about, I said, doing specialized performance testing anymore. Just in the course of debugging, I can see how long that code takes to execute.
That's awesome. Okay, so there was a question on channel 9 that I want to ask about that maybe has a little bit to do with debugging. Are there any new tools for game developers in Visual Studio 2015?
Yeah, there's quite a bit of stuff, actually. We have that at multiple levels. At the lowest level, we have tools for Visual Studio graphics diagnostics. So people who are using DirectX and they want to be able to debug and profile their applications, we allow them to do graphics level debugging on those applications. So you'd be able to go and to a certain pixel and say, like, okay, why is that pixel that specific color? And be able to trace through all the shaders that happen and see, you know, go all the way into pinpointing where the source of the problem was.
Right.
And then we added also now profiling for graphics, so not just debugging, but also profiling. So a bunch of new things are happening for Visual Studio 2015. In addition to that, one of the things that we're doing is that we're working with Unity on having good support between Visual Studio and Unity. So if you're creating mobile applications with Unity, one of the things that we do now is that, first of all, we just had announced a partnership with Unity a few weeks ago where it's going to be easy to acquire the tools. If you use both the Unity Editor and Visual Studio, it'll be easy for you to configure those two together. But also we have Visual Studio tools for Unity that make it very easy for you to go edit your C# code in your favorite environment inside Visual Studio and be able to do the debugging from inside Visual Studio and see the app run in the Unity editor. So it's a very nice combination there.
That is awesome. Did I cut your demo short? I feel like there's more we got to see.
Oh, that's okay. There's plenty more that we can look at.
Let's do it.
So next thing I should point out as we were doing this performance tip and we were looking at that, is this window over here that pops up now when I start debugging
in Visual Studio. Is that a new window? Because I don't think I've seen that before.
That is a brand new window to Visual Studio 2015. We call it the Diagnostics Tools. So by default, I'm going to have memory information about my process. So I can see I'm running about 39 megabytes right here. So nothing concerning going on right there. I can see the CPU consumption of my process.
But over time too, right?
Over time, yep. So by default, it zoomed into kind of my previous break state. I just went ahead and reset that now. And as I scroll back, I can see the memory trend over my entire debug session. And my app's not really doing anything here other than making a web call. So you can see I'm barely using any CPU, so there's nothing to be worried about there. Also, one of the things we get asked a lot, people really, really have liked perf tips since we released them, is I have the history over here in this debugger events tab that shows me every single step that was recorded. I can see the time that it took. So if I want to go back and say, oh, I don't remember what my previous step was, I can just look back. Okay, so that first step took 2 seconds about, and then when I ran to the breakpoint, it took about 4.2 seconds. So you have a full history of that over there.
That's awesome.
As well, we've incorporated memory tools, so I can take a snapshot. I can view all the objects in my heap of my process to see if I see my memory graph getting a little bit high. I can see what's going on in the
process.
Holy cow,
that's new, right? I don't think I've ever seen that.
So this is also new to 2015 being incorporated with the debugger. We did have an experience of this on top of dump files in only the ultimate SKU in 2013.
Oh, I see, okay.
But the ability to do it while debugging and at a breakpoint is new to 2015, and that's in all the SKUs down to community.
So this brings up an interesting question. Because we looked at some cool stuff, and there used to be a lot of differentiation of which version of Visual Studio had what things. So of the stuff that you showed, can you tell us a little bit about which things go into which SKUs?
So sure, everything I've showed so far is available down through the community edition.
And that's the free one, right?
That's the free
anyone
one.
Can use that.
Same for all the stuff I showed.
Okay, because I remember watching some of the Ultimate stuff like years ago. I'm like, wow, I wish I could have that. And I am professional because, you know. But this is really neat that we're giving these really powerful tools to anybody. You were going to say something.
I was going to say that one of the things that we've also been asked for is CodeLens, right?
That's
correct. CodeLens for the longest time was only in the highest paid Ultimate SKU, and we brought that down with Visual Studio 2015 as well.
Yep. Awesome.
So
awesome.
It really completes your ID experience.
All right, so here's some questions coming in.
Yeah.
Is there programming support for regions in IDE, in the IDE regions? I don't know if I like regions.
That's opinion, kind of a
right?
Religious debate right there.
This does not represent the opinion of my employer. I think if you have regions, you just maybe you should make a new class.
You know, so in terms of programming support in the IDE in general, for regions, yes, we do have support for regions in terms of programming. We have a lot of editor programmability in place. One of the things that is new in Visual Studio 2015 is a refocus on Visual Studio extensibility.
Got it.
So one of the things that we're doing now is just make it a lot easier for you as a developer wanting to customize your environment and having perhaps some features that you want to add or some things that you want to do for yourself or for your team. Or you want to learn some skills and you want to create some open source project for something that you want to have a customization for everybody, we are creating new tools in terms of a much better SDK, some really nice templates to start from, very good documentation now, much updated. You know, we've kind of not having been investing in that documentation for a while.
Yeah.
Now it's much renewed.
I've tried to make extensions
new
before,
thing that
and
we're,
it is
hard, right?
But it's good now.
The nice thing is that also we're creating this open source collection of repositories where we're showing you all the places where there are people who created open source extensions, so you can go and learn from them. Because one of the things that we heard from people on and on and on again is that the best source for learning to create Visual Studio extensions was going
extensions.
And looking at existing things. So
yeah.
Whether you look at the Python tools for Visual Studio or whether you're looking at other tools, they're all good extensions they can go and learn from. So that's definitely
while
good.
We're talking about extensions, actually, the light bulb that you saw there, that's a fully extensible piece too. So if you want to write your own light bulbs, I already talked about analyzers as being one way you can do that, but if you're not working in managed languages in VB and C#, you can write your own light bulbs anyways. So they work just as well in other file types as well. They're just a slightly different way of addressing them. So anyone can go party on those.
That's awesome. All right. JB, any C++ improvements in Visual Studio 2015?
Oh, many C++ improvements in Visual Studio.
Well, let's hear about them.
So we should probably get the C++ guys to talk about them, but I'll just mention a few.
Okay.
Definitely in terms of standardization, one of the things that's new is that continued focus on C++ 11 and C++ 14. So I know that Herb Sutter publishes the chart and Stefan Laoed, and they have, it's lighting up a lot more green now in C++ 11 and C++ 14. So that's obviously something that's there in 2015. Another thing is the focus on multi-device development and cross-platform. So now you can see targeting Android with C++ and soon iOS as well. So you can create binaries or use source that kind of runs multiple places. And now from within Visual Studio, you can create, build, and debug Android targets, right?
Got it.
So that's definitely cool.
Yeah, actually, one thing to add on top of that is there's even a blog post up on the C++ blog about how because we've added the support for Android and we debug using GDB and now LLDB on iOS, on the VC blog, there's a blog post about how you can use Visual Studio for general remote targeting of Linux or Raspberry Pi as well with C++ development.
Wow, so it's like now it's a real bigger house, a larger tent, and more people can come in and do stuff they want to do.
Yeah.
All right. Go
one
ahead,
more
sorry.
Thing I want to call. Sorry, I showed the memory tool working for manage.
All right, let's
that
see.
That memory tool works for native as well. So if you're doing C++ and you need to solve memory problems, we have the memory tool works very similar, although it does allocation tracking rather than reference graphs, because that's how you think about memory in native. Okay. So you just, if you're attached with a native debugger, you click take snapshot, it'll record what the state of all the allocations were at that point, you run to a different point, take another snapshot, and it'll show you all the allocations that have been allocated since the first snapshot but have not been deallocated.
Got it.
One really cool thing I remember since we're talking about C++ is that in the editor now, since we're giving a lot of IDE improvements, one of the things that I really like about Visual Studio 2015 is that it has this little feature where you can synchronize declarations and definitions. So you go and edit something in the C++ file.
Let's see it.
And the CP file, and then you want to synchronize that to the header file. It's just literally a one click, and now your header and CP.
I want to see this.
Really,
this
really
sounds
nice.
Like too much magic.
Yes.
I have a quick little demo for
you.
Oh,
wow. You even had one going. That's awesome.
Here's one I prepared earlier. That's a really trivial little method. A little adder. A couple of arguments here.
Okay.
Okay, so I get to the end of this line, and typically what I'm going to want to do at that point, you see the light bulb appeared
right
there? Okay. Now, the magic occurs. You see what's happened here?
Yeah.
I've actually got my CPP file that I want to go ahead and create that method body
but
in.
But it's sort of inlined in
the
H file.
Oh, yeah. We're using a peak feature here, which is actually a feature that's been around for a while, but we've leveraged it together with the light bulb here to allow you to go ahead and create the body of that method right away. And you're doing it contextually as well. So you're right in line. You haven't lost the context of the header you were working in. You can just go ahead and work and type it in, and you're done.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
Another thing that's not only related to C++, but also it covers everybody, is one of the focuses for Visual Studio this release is that we focused on people creating cloud-connected applications and people who are using cloud services in their development.
Got it.
One of the things that we've added is that we've learned that a lot of people, as they're doing their development, they have to deal with multiple accounts. You know, I have this, you know, SQL, Azure database that I'm using, and I have this feature from Visual Studio Online, and I'm using this thing, you know, from outside Microsoft completely, or GitHub or somewhere.
Right.
And you know, constantly as you're using the IDE, you get prompted to enter your username, enter your password for this thing, for that thing, and you have to do it multiple times. So one of the things that we added for Visual Studio 2015 is you know, single sign-on, where you basically tell us about all the accounts that you have, and then we will remember them. And then every time you're just using, you know, connecting to Azure, you're doing anything, we'll just go look through your accounts, we'll authenticate you with the right one, and you get going. So much less typing of usernames and passwords throughout
awesome.
The ID, which is one of my favorite things that we've added this time around.
Got it. All right, so there's some more questions. I want to make sure we get to the questions. Will Python tools for Visual Studio be getting the new light bulb feature in C# 6 and Visual Basic 14?
You know, I actually don't know the answer to that question, but as I say, this is an extension point that any language can take. And so whenever anybody who writes a language is ready to pile in and provide their own capabilities like that, they can do so. So that's actually happening at varying rates across the different languages, but they're all possible.
Got it. Next question, will we be able to use Visual Studio for Arduino development? That's an interesting question.
Arduino.
Are we going to be able to use Visual Studio for Arduino development? I don't think you can do it right now.
Okay.
I know that, you know, we have the IoT team and they're looking at what you can do with Visual Studio development targeting, you know, general devices in general, including Arduino devices. I don't have anything to announce at this point,
but I
know that we have people looking at that space in general.
This is going to be a really fast answer because we've answered already. Are the debugging improvements like diagnostic tools included in the community edition?
Absolutely.
Yes, they are. That's great. All right, another question. Will other types of extensions also be supported by NuGet delivery, tool windows, etc.? That's an interesting question. I think what they're asking is, because if you're talking about extensibility of Visual Studio, they're wondering if they want some kind of repository where all these things can live and people can download them. Can you do it via NuGet?
So you can't do it via NuGet, but what you can do is we're really revamping the gallery, the Visual Studio gallery, and we're creating new experiences in which you're going to be able to very easily from within the IDE or from within, you know, the browser, go and find new extensions, be recommended new extensions, and be able to get them to your IDE directly. So that's one thing we're investing in, just making the gallery that place where you can go and get the extensions and easily make them. We've constantly heard people tell us that they also want those to be able to be synchronized across all their machines. So while we don't do that today, we definitely heard that feedback, so it's on our backlog.
All right, next question. Will Visual Studio 2013 extensions be supported in VS 2015?
There have not been a ton of changes between Visual Studio 2013 and 2015 in terms of breaking changes for extensions. So it's very easy for an extension developer to go and take their 2013 extension and move it to 2015. We still make it a voluntary thing, a specific action that you go have to take to make sure that extension developers go and test their extensions with the latest product so that you're just not getting something that would crash on you or something.
Right.
So just to make sure that we have a certain level of quality. But from an extension developer perspective, it's very easy to go take their existing 2013 extension and take it to 2015. And we're working actually with the top extensions to make sure that at launch you're going to have that experience where it's available in both.
Got it. All right, next question. Does VS 2015 have any significant changes in TFS integration over VS 2013?
You know, I don't know the answer to that question. So
if the questions run out, I'm going to totally be like, look, I've used Visual Studio for so long, but I bet there's like little nuggets of gold you can tell me about, features that you're surprised we don't know about that you could tell us. There's so much of Visual Studio. that it's hard to say, oh, well, I know everything about it. I don't, and I've used it for 15 years.
I know that we have a team that is dedicated to working on the integration of source control in general with Visual Studio. And you know, TFS is our premier source control, so obviously we love that. So I imagine there have been. I'm just not the right guy to comment on it.
John asks, are there plans for 64-bit Visual Studio?
Huh.
That's a good one.
It's always a question that comes up. One of the things that we have in Visual Studio 2015, we don't have a 64-bit Visual Studio in Visual Studio 2015. There is no 64-bit version of Visual Studio 2015. With that said, we do have technologies within Visual Studio that are actually running in 64-bit. So while you actually have a 32-bit shell, we have internal technology in which we get some components that we know consume a lot of memory. You know, for example, I know that like C++ IntelliSense and probably some other things in debugging, where we execute those as 64-bit, and we have a 32-bit shell interact with the 64-bit extension. So parts of the IDE are already running 64-bit. It's just that like the shell and the editor, we don't have that running in 64-bit.
Got it. There's an interesting question about the editor here, and it brings up sort of the notion of, is there extensibility that you can do in the editor? The question is VI editor mode in the editor. I don't know if you can say, well, we're going to put VI in it, but are there ways to do extensions to the editor?
Yes, there are ways that you can write editor extensions that emulate particular keystroke packs and ways of doing things. The editor is a pretty flexible surface and very extensible in the way that it works. And people have written several interesting extensions for doing, different ways of key bindings, that kind of thing is a fairly typical one that people do. But also changing the way the editor works in more radical ways is perfectly possible through extensibility. And if there's an enthusiastic community around something like that, then there's nothing to stop them going ahead and building an extension.
Yeah, and like you mentioned before, go ahead and take a look at the extensions that have already been open, the sources open, that you can take a look and see how it works.
Yeah,
exactly so.
All right, next from Cliff. Will we see any better support for T4 templates built into future Visual Studio updates, such as syntax highlighting or IntelliSense? That seems to be out of the scope of the tool and more of the T4 language.
Yeah.
Do you have anything to say about that, or just?
I don't know the plans there.
So it's whoever writes T4, they need to.
Yep.
And I think the cool thing is that I think I'm learning here that Visual Studio is this fabulous tool. We're going to add what we think you need, and if you need more, you can totally do it yourself too. All right, next question. Will we see a more efficient implementation of direct symbol referencing in inline assembly?
Wow, that's inline assembly. That's pretty neat. I don't know. I actually know that we're not investing very much in terms of like the editing experience of inline assembly. So,
what's an inline assembly? I've never used one.
So you're writing some say typically like some C code, and you want to have an implementation of something written down. Like you
oh,
don't want
I
the
know.
Compiler
I,
to translate
that for you. I was thinking like an assembly. I'm thinking it's ASM in the C code.
Right.
I'm assuming that's what is referenced here by inline assembly.
Right.
So you don't trust the compiler and you want to do your own inline assembly, and that typically tends to be in the person who wants immediate performance boost for the current chip that they are targeting, because typically when people do that, they're obsolete in a couple of years. But
so I think this is a good question to sort of start wrapping up on, and then we'll get your thoughts. What features are not available in Community Edition? Because it seems like everything we keep talking about is in Community Edition. Is there something that's not? Can you guys answer that?
So in the diagnostic space, we have IntelliTrace, which is our historical debugging technology. In 2015, that is in the enterprise SKU.
Got it. So as we're finishing up, we got a minute left. Where can people go to learn more about each of the things you've talked about? We'll start with you, and then we'll work our way back.
I think the best place to learn about what's the new things in Visual Studio is the Visual Studio blog. Like, to me, that is the source of new information that's coming. And obviously, there's also our MSDN documentation. But if you're kind of learning about the different new things and what is it and what they are, we always go to the Visual Studio blog, and you're going to find a blog post. For example, for the RC, which we just released, we have a blog post that says, like, here are the new things, here's what's coming, here's how it works. And then it references other blog posts that you can go and learn from, and references places in documentation that you can see. So you'll read there, for example, about something we didn't talk about, like now we work on really good high DPI machines, and Visual Studio looks beautiful there.
Yeah. All right, 10 seconds each.
All right, so diagnostics team blog, aka.ms/diagnosticsblog. We blog about all the diagnostics features that we're doing there.
All right, and you're up?
Yep, same thing as Tarek, hit the VS blog. If you want to know about that very specific question about VS offerings, there's a great page on Visual Studio Online, which will hit you that. And also, of course, all these great sessions that we've been doing at Build, which are all going to be online very shortly, right?
Well, thanks so much for spending time with us. Thanks for watching, and we'll catch you guys after the break. See you later.
Thanks, Seth.